God's attributes were manifested to his pride in his last days.
Some of you are the reason why some people, some relations around you die early. You have made them the ones responsible for your well-being. You have made God the secondary. To make you return your focus to him, that your idol, you will make sure the person die early. And God, since God will not share his glory with any man, the person that is sharing his glory, sharing your heart with him, he will take him off. As funny as it looks, that is the truth. Say, when he's gone, then you will not look up to him. Let's open 2 Kings chapter 19 and verse 30. It says, and the remnant that is escaped of the house of Judah shall yet again take root downward and bear fruit upward. Again, they shall take root downward and bear fruit upward. That's why Apostle Paul was talking about being rooted. Rooted in his word. Grounded and rooted. Hallelujah. That is the identification of the bride of Jesus Christ. And so when it's time for us to look at the mirror of God's word, it's a very serious moment. We want to continue our exhortation. It's actually an exhortation to help us have better relationship with God. Remember, our text is admonishment of John the Beloved, 1 John chapter 5, and that was the last statement in that first epistle, verse 21. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 21, just one statement. What did he say? Everybody together, 1, 2, 3, go. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. And the church will say, it's John that said we should say amen. Amen. He said, little children, and it's referring to children in the faith. They are our apostolic fathers. We are those children he was referring to. He said, keep yourselves from idols. We're trying to look at idolatry. Spiritual idolatry. This is part two. We went the much we could go last Sunday. I spoke for so long, but we can just round it up now in a short while. My prayer is that you catch the need. At this time, the need, you know, to submit yourself as believers at this end time to what God is actually doing now. The ministry in the agenda of God for salvation, the ministry, what God is doing now is perfection. Fruit producing ministry of perfection. And this is a serious matter. And I've told you something. Listen very well. You can never be perfected by operating any gift. And when I speak like this, please, you know, I'm not downplaying gifts. They have their part, you know, to play. This is what Apostle Paul spoke in Hebrew. In Hebrew chapter 6, this is the way Apostle Paul put it in verse 1. He said, therefore, living the principles of the doctrine of Christ, he said, let us go on unto perfection. Perfection here is maturity. Not laying again the foundation of repentance. Every time, repent from dead works and of faith towards God. We are to move on to perfection. Move on to perfection. Perfection is maturity. Praise the Lord. I have said it, and I want you to catch it. It will help you. Amen. We cannot remain babies in the things of the Spirit. Listen, I am a teacher of God's word. These Issachar brothers, Jesus, David, and the one Onyejaka, they were asking me some questions. And they asked me a question, what do you think is your ministry, Pastor? Imagine the kind of journalist they asked. They say, Pastor, what is your ministry? Can you imagine that? Eh? They're saying, Pastor, what's your ministry? You're already calling my ministry and you're asking me what is my ministry. Eh? Amen. Well, I know what you meant by that. But I quickly answered him. I said, I am a teacher of God's word. Listen, I am a teacher of God's word. The purpose of the teaching ministry is to establish the people. The purpose of the teaching ministry is to give you spiritual independence. It's to remove you from dependence on the man of God. Amen. I have told you this several times. Those of you who are catching it, you will soon discover you are fulfilling my joy. And it is for your own good. A ministry where somebody says he's a pastor, he's a teacher, and all he is doing, like many men of God are doing, pointing people to themselves, is not the end time ministry. It is not. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. That is what necessitated the ministry of William Marion Branham. They took the church away from Christ. God came to recover the church back to Christ. So that we will look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of it. That is the burden I have. And a teacher, amen. When lecturers in the universities, they are teachers. Amen. The student does not remain in the classroom forever. He will teach, you will pass and go and begin to use the knowledge you acquired and live your life with independence. So also when we come to church, you know it's not in church that we practice Christianity. I hope you know that. When you are looking for a Christian, you don't go to church. You know everybody inside the church there is supposed to be a Christian. Looks like a Christian. Everybody sitting down in the church looks like a Christian. Did you hear my English? Everybody sitting down inside the church looks like a Christian. They dress very well. They don't wear a ring. They are in the spirit. They prophesy. They sing. They heal. They do deliverance. They dance. They worship. They look like Christians. When you want to confirm whether you are a Christian or not, whether that person, that brother is a Christian or not, it is after church, outside the church. Amen. You yourself, you don't confirm your Christian faith inside church. We come to church to acquire knowledge from the teacher who is teaching from the pulpit. Then we go out and practice it. Church, listen to what I am stressing, because it's a burden in my heart that the Christian faith has been misplaced, and I know by the revelation of the Spirit that this is not how it is supposed to be. We are supposed to grow in maturity. That perfection, they are moved to perfection, is moved to maturity. When you have been a Christian for how many years? And headache. You're having headache. You're looking for pastor's number, pastor's phone number. There are some of you that have all the television stations, all their prayer lines, you have their phone numbers. You call this one now. You call the other one now. You call this one tomorrow. You call this one. You come to church. You are looking for Prophet Sunday's phone number, Prophet Timothy's phone number, Prophet Zoe's phone number. Nobody asked for my phone number. So that when there's a problem, you call. And then you have bad dream, Prophet Sunday. Hey, Father, let him answer my call. Father, let him answer my call. Father, answer. You're a miserable Christian. You don't know it. Can you see how your brain has been turned upside down? You are talking to God to help you. Let Prophet Sunday pick your call. Oh, Father, let him pick your call. That is the reason why we are taking this topic of idolatry in the church. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Okay, let's go on. So we looked at what idolatry is. We saw it briefly last Sunday. When anything or anyone gets what God alone deserves, that thing or that person is an idol. Any object of worship is your idol, other than God. An idol is anything given excessive or blind adoration, reverence, or devotion. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Always remember the first commandment. The first commandment. Exodus chapter 20, verse 3. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. That is the first commandment. This is God talking. I read verse 3 again. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Do you know why he started giving this commandment? Before we continue reading verse 5. Listen. They had been 430 years in Egypt. So it's only normal that they were already used to the Egyptian gods. Now Jehovah God of Abraham has come and remember his children. And was taking them away from Egypt to the land of Canaan, to the land of promise. He's now going to walk with them. And knowing what they are used to, he has to bring their attention back to him. Thank you, Jesus. So, the first commandment God gave them, that's why he said, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image as you are seeing in Egypt, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Mami water. Verse 5. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. It is thus saith the Lord. And I gave you many more scriptures that emphasize God will not share his glory with any man. And this is important because we are a type of the natural Israel. We are the spiritual Israel. Our Egypt is our unbelieving world, our old lifestyle, when we were not in Christ. When he called us out of worldliness, out of our traditions, out of our former religions, out of our former lifestyle, to him, the first commandment you must know if you are going to walk with God is, he does not share his glory with any man. You are to serve him with all your mind, with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your spirit, with all your strength. Him alone. It's important that you take note of that. Praise the Lord. But there is a tendency, like Egypt, like Israel, when they left Egypt, at the slightest opportunity they had in the absence of Moses, they forced Aaron to make them the type of gods they were seeing in Egypt. The same thing also. Now that we have left the world, there are a lot of idolatrous practices that we will now try to bring to the Christian faith. And God hates it. Don't live like Rachel left with any part of her former father's idols. It created a problem for them, and we know it. Jacob called them strange gods. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That's why Apostle Paul kept emphasizing in Ephesians chapter 4, he said, put off the old man. Put it off. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And I stress so much on that. And I try to let us know the origin of idolatry is Satan himself. And always, Satan has constituted himself a substitute to the original God. He is the producer of the substitute religion, fake religion. There is the original and there is another. Original Jesus, there is another Jesus. There's original spirit, there's another Holy Spirit. There is original gospel, and there is another gospel. Satan is the author of all counterfeits. There's a spirit of truth and there's a spirit of error. And it is Satan desiring worship that has produced the first form of idolatry. And we established that last week. You can go back to the sermon we preached last week, the first part of this topic. And then we looked at the types of idolatry, and the first one we saw was the idol of self, and we dealt with it very well. Let's go to the second idol. Amen. The second idol. Amen. And I'm happy at the response we had. A lot of people call, send messages to tell me that for the first time they discovered they were actually making idol of themselves, and without knowing. You know, you do some of these things without knowing what you are doing. Yes, that's self. You know, when you begin to depend on your ability, when God says, without me, you can do nothing. Instead of you to depend on his ability, you depend on your ability and even boast of it. You have become an idol of yourself. When you begin to be self-seeking, everything is about pleasing yourself. What is it that brings anger? Is when your ego is offended. Because anytime you attack somebody's God, he fights you. But when you have no reputation, I will never forget my brother, a prophet, Adebadaki, a prophet in this message in Zaria. I met him some years back, and he made a statement while he was preaching that caught my attention, where he said, you can say anything against me. If you like, abuse me. If you like, insult me. He said, it means nothing to me. He said, because I have no reputation to protect. He said, he had no reputation to protect. He said, that is why people say all manner of things again. He said, you will look. They will remind him, say, it's you they are talking about. He said, hey, is it me? Hey. He said, this body you are seeing is dead long ago. That thing challenged me so much. Why do we get angry? It is when your idol is attacked. You like people to praise you. When they don't praise you, you get angry. You like people to recognize you. When they don't recognize you, you get angry. Eh? I preached, finished. You didn't recognize, you didn't praise me. But when Zoe come, you will hail him. Because you want to be recognized. When Prophet Daniel is prophesying, then you say, fire, oh, fire, oh, fire, oh. Then when Prophet Sunday comes, then Sunday will get angry. Then why will I not hail me like when they hail, you know? Then well, Sunday, do you have message? I don't have message. I don't have message. Because his idol has been offended. You're not recognizing him. You want him. May God deliver you from the idol of self in the name of Jesus Christ. Another very serious idol. I told you, the one that is around you. That is after yourself, is around you. Is the idol of the house. The idol of the house. The love you show friends and relations. Now, let me explain it. I think I put something down here. I say, family love is very good. But then the love we bear for our friends and relations must be subordinate to that we cherish for God. I will explain this. If we depend upon these dear relations for happiness more than God's favor, you depend on these relations for happiness. Are you catching where I am going? For your joy, for your happiness. You are depending on your husband. You are depending on your senior brother. You are depending, some of you, particularly you in Africa here, where your relations are overseas. You have totally put your mind away from God, the source of your supply. Your mind is now in your relation abroad. That is your source for joy. That is your source for favor. Hallelujah. Also, if in calculating our possessions and adding up the sum total of our enjoyments, we naturally place our relations, our friends, first. Also, if in felicitating ourselves upon what we have, we turn to this before God. If not for my senior brother, Zoe, where will I have been now? I know I am where I am today. It's Pastor Moses. If not for Pastor Moses, I know I would have been very useless by now. If we dread most the loss of this, if we dread most the loss of this, I have somebody saying, Pastor, may nothing happen to you now. Not die now, not die now. Not die now. Because if you die, some of us, we are finished. Hey! Do you know the implication of what you are saying? That is the reason why God, to make you focus, return your focus to him, that your idol, you will make sure the person die early. Some of you are the reason why some people, some relations around you die early. You have made them the ones responsible for your well-being. You have made God the secondary. And God, since God will not share his glory with any man, the person that is sharing his glory, sharing your heart with him, it will take him off. As funny as it looks, that is the truth. Say, so when he's gone, then you will not look up to him. If we dread the loss of this, make nothing happen to my husband. No. If my husband die, I'm finished. Who will take care of me? Again, if we feel that nothing could make us happy if these were removed, nothing else will make me happy if my wife is removed. You know, that is why when a partner dies, the second one will die and follow him. Because, I mean, the person that's making me to be happy is no more around. So what is life again? Then before you know what, complications arise, you know, and before you know what, you will die and follow the person. Oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. If we go daily or hourly to this alone for gratification, if instead of leading our hearts to God, they hold our hearts from God, when you wake up in the morning for your daily need, your prayer for all you need today, so that I will get what I need today, I beg you, Uncle Oscar, as you wake up, Uncle Oscar, just make I greet you first. There are people that do that. Because it's the source of my now you go provide for me today now. Then they begin to pray religious prayer. You know where your heart is. Praise the Lord. You see the devotion parents give to their children. The attention is, this is the one that will take care of me tomorrow. My children. What are you happening? That my investment be this. These are the people that I'm bringing. This is the one that will take care of me tomorrow. You should love them tenderly. Oh. Love your children. But love God supreme. Supremely love God. You don't know tomorrow. You don't know tomorrow. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Yes. That is the idol around you. Your relations. Your friends. And that is why you feel very disappointed. Do you know some people commit suicide? He said, everybody has forsaken me. See people who should help me, they're refusing to help me. What is this life all about? And they even commit suicide because nobody is reaching out to help them. So where is God? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Even a comfortable home. They say, well, you build your house and make your house so comfortable. So comfortable that house becomes your idol. When you enter, you begin to look at everything is working, 24 hours power. You have standby generators. Everything is working, air conditioners everywhere is cozy looking. Everything. And then you begin to look at, praise God. Hallelujah. You begin to look at that house as that is your heaven. This is your heaven. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Instead of that comfort you have, instead of it to lead you to the giver of that comfort, that comfortable home, instead, it will detain, like I put it, it will detain the soul from the divine center, depending on this sin more and the temporal. You depend on it more than the unseen God. So your house can also be your idol. Don't see people, amen. The attention they give to where they live, my. They don't have such devotion with God. And that's something we must watch. I've dropped something. I don't know how many people will catch it. I said, the devotion, the attention you give to sources of blessing. You know, instead of giving glory to He who has linked you to that source of blessing, you forget the God that led you to that source of blessing. And you concentrate rather than begin to worship that source of blessing. Let me tell you what God does. You are risking the existence of that source. And it can be your job. And that's why sometimes you just wake up and they sack you from that work. You have made it your idol. You now worship it. You cannot go to church again. What happened? Now my work, if I lose a work, God, then I will be worshiping anytime. Now. If I lose this job now, you will give me another one. You have not seen people who remember church only when they have nothing to do. When they are busy, church becomes secondary. Prayer becomes secondary. Personal devotion with God becomes secondary. Yes. You are risking that source of blessing. You are risking the life of your husband, the life of your son, the life of your wife, the life of your brother, your sister, even the life of your boss. This is the way Brother Abraham put it. He said, when you lean on man, he said, when you make man the pillar you lean on, he said, God will cause the pillar to fall. So that two of you will fall there. That songwriter says, leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting. Song. What a fellowship, what
a joy divine,
living on the everlasting hands. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine.
Hallelujah. You lean on a human being, you are finished. That's why he said, woe to you that put your trust on a man. Praise the Lord. Another idol is the idol of wealth. Wealth is a big idol. Let me read something right up here. Is there some Christians, some religious people are blessed with a prosperous and thriving trade or lucrative profession. They have perhaps acquired a name, an established reputation, an extensive credit. Their profits are considerable. Their property increases. Their respectability rises. Their neighbors look on, some with envy, others with surprise. How dangerous to the soul is this state of things. Such a business often becomes a too successful competitor with God for the heart. Because all your heart is now in that business. All your heart is now in that source of your wealth. These prosperous tradesmen are apt to embark their whole soul in their business. That business is their happiness. It's their dependence. It's their one chief solicitude. They admire their success, value themselves on account of it, watch it with a most acute sensibility, tremble if anything looks like a symptom of change. If anything wants to happen, they tremble. See with distressing jealousy the incipient prosperity of others in the same line. They felicitate themselves on the greatness of their returns. They exalt themselves upon the solidity of their credit and the esteem in which they are held by the world. Go to the scene of their success. They go to the scene of their success with conscious pride. In short, their soul is bound up in their trade, in their business. That your business has become your idol. They, in effect, say to it, to their business, you are my God, you save me. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. When you have become so successful, especially when you believe it is your hard work that has given you, or your smartness that has given you, a blessing that God has given you, begin to share your heart in devotion with the devotion for God. Then that business has become an idol. You're ready? It brings pride in you. All your attention is in it, and you guard it so much until you are afraid. If anything happened to this business, I am finished, because all the pride, all the credit I have, all the name I have, everything I have will go down. You are already into a very serious form of idolatry with the blessing that God has given you. So watch it. And that's why in Deuteronomy chapter 8, the Lord had this to tell his children from verse 10. From verse 10, when thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he has given thee. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes which I command thee this day. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, see, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thy heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led thee through the great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee And that he might prove thee to do thee good all thy latter end. And thou say in thy heart, my power and the might of my hand has gotten me this wealth. See? But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. And he gave a warning in verse 19. And it shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them, and worship them, I testify against you this day, that ye shall surely perish. As the nations which the Lord destroy before your face, so shall you perish, because you will not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord your God. Take note, church. This is very important. I'm talking to the genuine seed of God. Praise the Lord. I am talking to the genuine seed of God. Predestinated seed of God. You are the one this law applies. One of the gods of this world is wealth. It is called mammon. The pursuit of worldly acquisition is called mammon. And if you are ever going to acquire these worldly goods the way and chase them the way this world chases after such things, it is going to be to the detriment of your concentration on your God. That's why Jesus said, you have to make your eye single. You cannot serve God and mammon. The two cannot go together. You can't. You cannot serve two masters. Each of them is a master requiring full devotion. When you see somebody who says he's a Christian, if you are employed, you're an employee, it's understandable. But that you have your own business. And you cannot arrange yourself and give the desired time to serve your God, but full of distractions to make more money, more money, more money. Ah! If you're a true seed of God, he said he will destroy you. He has nothing to do with these unbelievers. They are already destroyed. They are just waiting to be packed and put in the lake of fire. But for you, he is settling your matter here, 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 here. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. He's settling the matter here, 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 here. You commit anything whom he loves, he chastens. That is why some of you were so successful in your business. But there is a grace of God upon you. And instead of you, God put every grace, every talent he has given you, every talent, I repeat, there are the spiritual talents known as the spiritual gifts, and there are the natural talents that God has given you. Every talent God gave you, you are to profit with it. You are to give him glory. And you abandon him, and he wants to use that, your gift, to glorify himself. And you are using it in the worldly way. If you do that, God will frustrate you. He does it. That's why you make it small time, everything will crash. Boah. Then you remember him again and come back. You will pray, he will open small door for you again. You will run off. I hope you are hearing me now. You will never prosper like that. When you make wealth your idol. Do you know some people's joy comes from seeing the balance in their bank accounts? That is what gives you joy. Your strength, the confidence you have, Why you walk boldly? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, my wife once told me, she said, Kai, money gives confidence. He said, Kai, money gives confidence. Praise God. Hallelujah. It gives confidence. And maybe she wanted to go and buy something in a store. And maybe the person, not knowing who she was, and then the sales girl is telling her, it's 500,000. No? And the way he said it, you know, the way he said it, is maybe it's 200,000. No? You know, look at that. And then she said, yes, give me 3. Oh, then the girl wakes up. Eh? Who is this? And she told me that, you know, when you have money, he said it gives you confidence. And when you don't have money, it humbles you. It humbles you when you don't have money. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. If what gives you boldness and confidence is your bank statement. Amen. Hey! You're looking for trouble with God, because the Bible says, the joy of the Lord is my strength. What is the joy of the Lord? The joy of the Lord is that I have confidence that if he is for me, who will be against me? He is my all sufficiency. He is my supplier. He is my my provider. He is my healer. He is my all in all. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Not the joy of my connections. The joy of my bank account. Praise God. And you'll soon discover that God will allow one type of sickness come on such people. That they will tell you, there's no cure, so no need, no money. It's not money. I have the money, but your case is not about the money. So you notice that it is not money that you have made your God has a limit. Praise the Lord. Don't let God force you to that level. Don't let him do that. So he warned them. When you are full, then you begin to serve other gods. You turn your back against him. It will not be your portion in the name of Jesus Christ. Another idol, the fourth idol. If you are taking note of them, the first idol is self. The second idol is the idol of the house. The third idol is your wealth. And the fourth one now is the idol of the world. I don't know how to put that, but let me explain. Amen. When you give undue devotion to worldly things, one of them is fashion. Now, remember, I say it's idol of the world. Now, fashion goes with the word called trend, trending. Now, this is how the world is moving now. And your attention is so much on wanting to know what is the latest. You're already guilty of an idol around you. Praise God. Christians want to, you know, associate themselves with the world. This is the way William Branham put it to solve this problem. He said, see, when the world is going right, the whole world, they are interested in a particular trend. Just know that God is not in it. Anything you see the whole world is interested in, just know that God is not in it. This is how all the women are making their hair now. Then you will see inside the churches. Inside churches, you see that is the same trend you see outside. That's what you see in the church. This is how they dress now. This is the latest one now. You see it in the world. You go to church. In fact, these days, it's even the church. They won't come advertise a hat. Advertise this, advertise that. Amen. William Branham said, when you see the world going right, he said, you deliberately go left. That is your own way of protesting to let the whole world know, I don't belong to you. You're right, I don't belong to you. This is my own way of saying, this is where I belong to. Praise the Lord. Brother Ama was sharing with me what helped him in the university. He said at age 19, just before he entered the university, he read a book. And the title of the book then was I Dare to be Different. I Dare to be Different. He said reading that equipped him that when he went to the university, he decided he was going to be different from other students. He was a Christian. So he built his own lifestyle. Immediately he got there, he got his megaphone. Every day in the morning he would go around the campus and be preaching early morning cry. Wear his clothes and finish that before he go to his lecture. After lecture he will come and continue. So while the others are doing party, doing this one, do all these social activities, he dared to be different. He went the opposite direction, preaching the gospel. So until they tagged him all manner of names, he said, and that kept him in the university, focused in his studies until he left. We Christians, we should dare to be different too.